We're going to do a lesson on Jesus sets us on the right path. We are people who follow or want to follow the right things. There are things that we can talk about in the world today, and people are sitting in places drinking beer and other stuff and telling about all this story and tell this story over here. And then there's people in God's embrace of the scriptures, and we get the opportunity to be able to work around and work within the scriptures and learn things and help others see and know things in a better way. Jesus sets us on the right path, and I think that's a good path. I've read the Bible a lot of times. I don't do it as much as I did because I can't like I did, but I remember sitting down for 10 hours and going all the way through the book. But those days have changed. In Revelation 2:1-7, the text says, "To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance." Boy, wouldn't you love for Jesus to appear in here today and say those words to us? But don't you know that because they're written in the Scripture, we do get a chance to hear those words? We know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who have claimed to be apostles but are not. I'll tell you this, as far back as the Scriptures go, there were people trying to be shysters and take from other people. This is not new. It's all over our country now and getting worse. You have persevered. You have endured hardships for my name. You have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Can you remember when this building was full? I remember when it was packed with people. Now, some of those people died, and some of them didn't want to deal with it. This congregation is just too small now, yet I'd rather go to somewhere there's a bigger place. Man, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a really big place on that last day. But I have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Whomever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. I've heard people a lot of times when the ideas of the book of Revelation coming up and it being talked about. When you hit Revelation, you hit a whole new world. You have a whole new place to look. And so it's in that Revelation 2:1-7, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false, and you have preserved and have endured hardship for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. I wonder, could you have, yet I hold against you? you've grown weary. You just don't want to do it anymore. Do you think looking around this room is an example of I don't want to do it anymore? Is that possible? Do you think everybody that was ever here before is somewhere else? Or did some of them just quit? What do you think? Your good sense has got to work right here. What's going to happen? There's going to be somebody that says, I'm done. You've forsaken your first love. Consider how far you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I'll come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. In that vernacular, removing the lampstand, it means you're in the dark now. What happens if you have a lamp and it's dark? Can you see? Yes. What if you don't have a lampstand? You won't be able to navigate anything without running into something. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. I don't know if you know it or not. Revelation is a very unique book, and it's very different from all of the other New Testament books. They just do not work the same way. Now, it's by the same God that's being done. If you've done much work in the book of Revelation, you will find real quick, this doesn't sound like the stuff I've heard in the other parts of the years in churches. Matter of fact, for the longest time, Revelation wouldn't even be allowed to be put in the Scriptures. It's not to be read like Galatians and Ephesians and other books of the New Testament. There's a great oppression going on with the people of God at the time of this revelation of Jesus to John. It was written as apocalyptic literature. Who knows what apocalyptic literature means? It's kind of like something that's turned upside down and you're supposed to figure it out because it's very important stuff that can't be abridged. There was a great oppression going on with these people. It was written as apocalyptic literature, partially to teach God's truths without conflict from the government of the day. Has there been bad governments in the world? Are there things that need to be said that if you say them, you're going to die? So this thing was kind of an under-the-cover thing. That's how you got the book of Revelation. Did you know that? This is how that came about. There was a great oppression going on with the people at this time. The book sets up Jesus as the ruler of the churches. Why does he then have authority to speak? Revelation 1:5-6. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us, who has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Do you know that you are powerful people? The Scriptures are telling you that. They're telling us that. He is the faithful witness. He is the firstborn from the dead. Firstborn from the dead? That means he was dead and what? What happened to Jesus after they buried him? He rose again. He is the one who loosed, listen to this, he's the firstborn from the dead. He is the one who loosed us from sin by his blood. If he loosed it from us, did it clean us up?
Not only that,
He's the one who made us to be a kingdom and priest. All over the world, I guess. There's people in some kind of setting like us today, and they have some parson who's saying this or that or whatever. But I'm going to tell you what, I can't make it happen. I only have God to make it happen. He has the authority to speak, and He can say what He wants to. He can tell us, get back right with this, or you're doing a good job. He could do all of that. You want to know why He has authority to speak? He says this, Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and is to come, the Almighty. He is the great I Am. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Revelation 1:12-16. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like the Son of God. What would be something like the Son of God? Could you outshine anything God's done? The hair of His head was white like wool, white as snow, and His eyes were blazing fire. His feet were like bronze, glowing in the furnace, and His voice was like the sound of rushing waters. And in His right hand He held the 7 stars. Coming out of His mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun in all of its brilliance. He is the one dressed in the priestly garments. Revelation 1:7-18, when he saw him, he fell at his feet as though dead, and then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and I'm the last. I'm the living one. I was dead, and look, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Let me ask you this. What's keys for? It's made to either close something up that you don't want open or opened up something you won't open. In this case, God's going to come in here because of us being in His embrace. And He's going to turn that key down and lock it. And you're going to be that way all the rest of your life. You say, well, I don't want to be in a tomb. Don't worry about a tomb. I remember the song of From the Grave He Arose. I have buried a lot of people over the years. But you know what's going to happen to you? God's going to bring you back. And you're going to be back. And there will be no sin, no hurt, nothing needed that cannot be found. Those in the grave will arise. People you loved, people you buried that come from out from under the tomb and stand on the earth again. I don't believe in all that church business. Well, if you don't believe it, I feel sorry for you because I'm going to be waiting for it. I'm not worthy of it. I've never never, ever been worthy of it. But I know the one who is worthy, and that's God Almighty, Jesus Christ the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit, all of which work in my life every hour, every day, and the same way with you. Do you believe that? That's what God's done. And I don't know about you, I don't want to beat this to death, but I'm telling you, this is good stuff, and you can't outdo that. Well, I'm going to tell you this. With God, you can't lose with the stuff we use, because God's given us the right stuff. And the church said, Amen.